If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings on the divine life of the One Self. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Accepting Present Perfection. So let me ask you, do you want to experience an instant lifting of any burden, an immediate upwelling of happiness, and release of all stress? Well, of course you would. Who wouldn't? Well, all it takes is accepting the present perfection of yourself and all things. Divine perfection is truth. All other appearances are false. The embellishments of the ego mind. So let's start with an attunement. Take a deep breath. And right into that place of stillness within your mind. There it is. And just imagine, if you will, if you would like, that everything in your life is exactly perfect. Why? Because you revisited this life, this time, this place. Because this is the time and point of enlightenment and freedom. That's why you're listening this evening to this seminar. You have manifested this in your life because it simply gives voice to what you know in your heart is the deepest longing of your true being. So your life, my life, everyone's life is perfect right now, just as it is. At least it is all seen as perfect when viewed from the highest spiritual point of view. So if you're ready to take your next step, ask that whatever is for you to hear and to remember and to practice, that that be highlighted for you by your own inner master. And that you be guided to those steps that for you would be the most appropriate for you to take for your greater emancipation this evening. Ultimately, all form, period, all forms will dissipate into pure spaciousness. And all conditioned thought will dissolve into the light of awareness. So that is your true essence, spaciousness, unencumbered unlimited vastness, omnipresence, and the pure light of all-knowing, or omniscience. Now, we've done several seminar exercises where we had you experiencing yourself as the energy inside the form, the energy in your hands and your feet and throughout your body. So if you've been practicing that, you're probably pretty good at that by now. So this is an advancement beyond that particular approach. And let's try this together this evening. If you're ready, take another deep breath and relax and be fully present here and now. Place yourself in that point of stillness in your mind and imagine yourself as space. Try to feel yourself, your essence, around your body. Not in your body, but radiating from that point of stillness through the illusion of body and into the vastness of space itself. Keep expanding your sense of self into this sense of spaciousness. Be space itself without form definition. At first, like an unswaddled infant, you may experience fear at having no sense of encompassing definition, of having no solid boundaries of form. But think of your form as like training wheels for developing formlessness. So keep practicing until you experience the joy of unbounded freedom. This is a good meditation to practice with your eyes closed initially, but then take it outside and gaze up into the sky. Try to find a place where you can just see sky. And imagine yourself wearing the sky. And remind yourself that ultimately all form will dissolve into this spaciousness. All forms disappear into vastness. And likewise, all mental conditioning ultimately dissolves into the light of illumination. So what could illumination be but simply the dissolving of all form, limitation, and mental differentiation into light? Thus the body finds its natural home in formlessness, as the mind finds its natural home as light. Your nature as a divine being is omnipresence and omniscience. You can experience that now. You don't have to wait. I practice this almost every single day. And I found that it gives uprising to a tremendous sense of freedom and bliss. It's the most ecstatic feeling that you can possibly imagine when you sit in the confines of a small room, as I often do, and experience yourself everywhere. There's no place that you're not. And you feel it, a tremendous burst of ecstasy. It's the only way I can describe it. That just quiets and stills every form of agitation. There's no thought. There's no emotion. There's no drama going on. There's just a sense of pure being. And the perfection of that. And it's that I wish to convey and share with each one of you. For obviously you're very interested, otherwise you wouldn't be listening. And here's another visualization that I will leave with you, and you can practice both of these. They're both very, very good. If you find yourself troubled by a lot of agitated thoughts and feelings and emotions, and you find yourself getting drawn off and entrained into these episodes, imagine yourself as the vast ocean itself. Observe your emotions and states of consciousness like waves arising upon the surface and as quickly dissolving back into your vast expansiveness. Abide in that state for a while and imprint the feeling and awareness of it. Practice recalling it whenever you feel overwhelmed by what you are experiencing. Observe how all states arise briefly and then dissolve again into that vastness. You are omnipresent. That is your true state of being. You are everywhere present. Your only limit is your awareness of that vastness. And you lose awareness whenever you become attached to some particular state of being and try to cling to it. Or you're attached to a limited focus of attention and reluctant to let it go. So when you are centered in spiritual awareness, you experience a sense of sitting back behind your eyes, observing the passing of events and states of consciousness. The true self sits back behind the eyes and views life without reaction. It keeps itself centered in wholeness. You know, I've observed this detached neutrality, this impartial, impersonal compassion, when I've been in the presence of any enlightened person. You can see it in their eyes, the way they seem to look right through you, to who you really are. They look past the form to the true essence. I have had this experience looking in the eyes of my teachers, Satya Sai Baba, John Roger, and when I've been in the presence of God-realized beings like Sri Ananda Moima and Amma. There are many that I have had the privilege of being in their direct presence. And every single one of them has this distant look in their eyes that looks right beyond the form, the illusion, the presentation of the ego, into the very heart of your own divine perfection, which they see as one with their own essence. That's why they see you as an extension of their own being. And when you're in that state, you will find the same is true for you. You just look, bypass the inadequacies that form presents in this illusory world to try to tempt and distract you from the innate perfection of all things. That's the ego's agenda, to distract you with form and the dramatics of occurrences in time-space. But when you're centered in the self, you watch the show, but you don't buy. You don't buy into it as your reality. So at some point in one spiritual journey, it just seems to slip in upon you this sense of wholeness, oneness, sameness. And you begin to see the one divine presence animating every form. And you find in that recognition a heartfelt kinship with all life. And the only thing that blocks present awareness of that right now is the lower mind. That sense of separated selfhood with all its logjam of judgments, opinions, reservations, restrictions, inhibitions, and so forth. And these are what it places about itself as a defense against the truth of our essential oneness with all life, with all states of consciousness, and every life form. It's so interesting. Jesus in the Course of Miracles said that we're all one self. There's only one uniquely begotten emanation, sun, ray, extension of God. And that is the Christ. That's you and me and everyone. Christ means the Anointed One. There's only one. An ego mind replicated like cell division into the many, clothing each in a form that appeared different from the others. Different color, different size, different adornments, whatever. Seeking to fool you into believing that there were many and different. But with the illumination of the consciousness, as you come to from this deep slumber, you begin to see your own self in everyone. That's the vision of a God-realized person. They only see the one. Wherever they look, they see the one beloved. And they are the beloved. That's why they never feel lonely. They never, ever feel like they're anywhere but at home in God. No matter what the situation they find themselves in, they have that security. That is the only place you're ever going to find true security, true peace of mind, and genuine fulfillment. Everything else in your life is going to disappoint you because it's going to reveal either the ego's agenda of separation and imperfection and harmfulness and all of that, or you're going to see through the spiritual eyes that beholds the one beloved. So it's a matter of which point of view, which vision you would like to have as your own. So there is but one divine life, and that life animates every life form and every mind. And the mind is either lost in dreams of differentiation or awakening and illumination. And that's only a matter of time, for ultimately, all of that divine Christ will awaken. Everyone will awaken as the uniquely begotten one, as the Christ, as the anointed one, as the beloved, as the Buddha. So differentiation is the illusion that illumination dispels. Differentiation is the illusion that illumination dispels. So you are listening to this particular seminar because you're choosing to see through and beyond the illusion of differentiation and look beyond all forms to the divine perfection ever present. And this is a spiritual practice that develops into a habit. You practice this all the time, day in, day out. And that will ultimately manifest as illumination and liberation when divine perfection is all you see. Now, you can try all kinds of techniques that seem to serve as reminders to keep you spiritually focused throughout your day. And tools and techniques and reminders and mantras are all necessary until that inward vision of the spiritual awareness is firmly established. Then it becomes your natural state. That was what Jesus was referring to when he said, and your eye, if it becomes single, the whole body will be filled with light. So the single eye is the spiritual awareness he was referring to that dissolves then the sense of the body into pure light. That's why Jesus called every one of us the light of the world. That's our true purpose and function here. And compassion is the viewpoint of spiritual awareness. Compassion. Judging, criticizing, fault finding will become so foreign to you as to no longer even arise in your mind. The more you are centered and live from your true spiritual self, you become aware immediately of how your energy droops the minute you act or speak in an egoistic, unkind manner. Your spiritual sensitivity becomes so highly developed to the point that you become totally incapable of even thinking in an unkind manner towards anyone. That's true harmlessness when you get to that stage. So what is most interesting, I think, there are many things that are very interesting, but the interesting topic of time as described by Jesus in A Course of Miracles is absolutely fascinating to contemplate how that sense of time arose and what an illusion it is that keeps us very, very convinced that we're somehow held to a body positioned between birth and death, which of course gives rise to all of the fear that we have, which is essentially, when you boil it down, the biggest fear we have is of death, of ceasing to exist, which of course is impossible. And so the sense of time is very much connected to our sense of identity here in the human form. In fact, it's been said that the sense of time arises only in the separated ego mind. that it actually is not a quality of the fourth dimension at all. It's actually part of the mind, the separated ego mind. Case in point being, you go out of time when you meditate, when you fall asleep, when you transcend body awareness, you go immediately into the state of timelessness. So how could it be involved with the fourth dimension? You know, it definitely has to do with the state of consciousness when you're attached to an ego mind. So get this. According to A Course in Miracles, Jesus teaches that all lifetime episodes and all possible probable scenarios that you could ever opt to exercise, past, present, and future, were all exercised all at once, out of time, and lived and completed in an instant long ago. That's what's so amazing. We've done this before. This life, this conversation we're having, this moment is a repeat of what was lived through and completed long ago. So the understanding of time sequence as part of the great illusion and why and where we are right now, why we have chosen to revisit this particular learning episode in this particular point of time. Jesus said that we are revisiting this particular episode so that where we made a lesser choice before, we could make a more loving one this time. So that's why every experience in our life is a choice of whether we're going to respond from the loving, compassionate heart that is our true self, or we're going to go into the attack and vengeance of the ego. What are we going to choose? Or, more simplistically, are we going to choose loving or fear? So, consider that we've already lived this life, that the experiences we seem to be having now for, you know, seemingly the first time, are like dust blowing back in our face after the vehicle has passed by. We are having the dust, the previous experiences, coming back as the episodes we're experiencing now. What an interesting contemplation to take into meditation with that inner master and see what's revealed. Hang out with the inner master, the Holy Spirit, and ask for some dialogue on that. Begin to think it through with him and see what revelation occurs to you. What if you lived this life already long ago? You had the dream that you were born and that you grew up and that you did all of these things you thought you did this lifetime, you've already done. And you've already died. Departed this life. I think that's why people have prophecy, have the ability to see prophetically. I think they just have the ability to tune into what's already happened. It's not so much a matter of what's going to happen, it's what already happened. And I'm a firm believer that part of our job is to cancel negative prophecy and to make a better choice. We don't have to have Armageddon. Who said so? We don't have to have third world wars and devastation and all of that. Just because some prophet saw that thousands of years ago? What if, where the prophet reincarnated, that spoke those words years ago? What if? And what if now we had the authority and the power and the awareness and the illumination to cancel and render them null and void so that none of them came to bear this time? Couldn't that be part of a better choice that we're making? Not to keep reinforcing those old thought forms, but to open the door to grace and love and a good and peaceful and happy life for all sentient beings? I think so. So this is the life, and this is the point along the timeline that we've chosen to revisit. How interesting is that? And another point to contemplate, consider the futility of addressing imperfection as if it were real, and thus making it real at least to yourself temporarily. You know the old saying, if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. Well, when seen from the highest point of view, nothing needs fixing because nothing in highest truth is broken. We're not even here at all except in our imagination. So wouldn't it seem the best approach possible to awaken and simply step out of the dream? It would seem that would be much more practical. Our last seminar was, none of this really happened. So stop making it real. We make things real in our experiential, temporary sense of reality by believing in them. Seeing something, whatever it is the proof that it at some level you have bought into the belief that it is real. Thing of it is, most of our seeming reality that we experience is subconscious, so we don't actually know what we have hidden from ourselves in our subconscious, unconscious mind, which many doctors now say governs 80% of our behavior. So, back to the Course in Miracles. This is why Jesus said that only by looking beyond the form and its seeming behaviors to the original innocence of every son and daughter of God, the original innocence of everyone, which is how Jesus defines forgiveness, as looking past and through and beyond the appearance to the innocence, that erases, it absolutely erases, like a magic eraser, all of the energies, the karma, the conditioning around that belief that then revisited you previously as your suffering, as your sense of guilt. So that is what heals the unconscious subconscious mind, is to look beyond the form. Look beyond the form. Like all of those enlightened ones do. Look right past the form and hold your consciousness and your awareness steady upon the divine innocence and perfection and wholeness of all spiritual people, all beings, not even people, all spirits. So, in highest truth, we have never left the heart, mind, and presence of God. We are God. We've never been here in a human form or in a body in any real sense, but have only fallen into a deep sleep and had a series of dreams. And this series of dreams has been referred to as lifetimes. Incarnations that were supposedly lived at another previous time. And yet Jesus, in A Course in Miracles, repeatedly teaches us that none of this ever really happened, that we remain forever as God created us, perfect and forever one with creative source. And that time itself is part of this illusion, for only the eternal now exists. Past, present, and future are simply projections of the deluded mind that sleeps in forgetfulness. There is only perfect divine life here and now and eternally. And you are that life. You are that one divine life, awakening. You are perfect, whole, complete, innocent, here, now, and forever. Just imagine how marvelous you'd feel if you fully accepted this right now. Kind of takes rethinking, doesn't it? Rethinking your whole life. Re-imaging your whole sense of identity. And that's what A Course in Miracles is for. It's to train the mind to think correctly and to extricate itself from the habit of wrong thinking and ego projection. But Jesus said that there are many, many ways to learn the same lesson. Not everyone is going to study A Course in Miracles and doesn't have to. But he says also that the curriculum is the same regardless of the manner in which it's learned. So some of you may be drawn to that and others may be drawn to other paths. It doesn't matter. The teacher is one. There's only one teacher. And that's the Holy Spirit. But when you fully awaken, you'll find that you are the Holy Spirit. That there's only been one divine spirit. And you're it. But not alone, because we all awaken to that same realization. We are all the one spirit of love and life and light. So it's pretty interesting to think that our life as we are currently experiencing it is a re-experiencing of what we've already passed through at another time. And the reason why we've chosen to re-experience this particular life is because it is the perfect arena for our awakening and remembering, and Jesus says, for our forgiveness lessons. Every life presents forgiveness lessons. And again, forgiveness, according to Jesus, is not to look at something as having happened and then to forgive it, but to look past it as ever having happened at all, realizing that in highest truth, none of us have ever left the heart of God. So these dream characters that parade around and seem to kill and maim and hurt and rape and abuse one another, these are the nightmarish dreams that our mind presents to ourselves as an excuse to project our own guilt. These are all mechanisms of guilt projection, according to Jesus. And so as we begin the process of looking past behaviors and forms and manifestations in your face on a daily basis, looking past them to the innocence, reminding ourselves of the essential oneness, realizing that everything we see within and without is simply ourselves. No matter what it looks like, it's another you, like the Mayans say when they greet one another in Lakach. I greet another of myself, when we really habituate into that state and abide in it consistently, Jesus said that our past, all of the negative things around that issue, whatever that relationship brought up for you that you needed to look beyond, is erased. That's why he says you save thousands of years of time. And goodness knows how many dream episodes of reincarnation every time you choose to look beyond and forgive. So the Holy Spirit erases all of that illusion, all of that karma, all of that negative energy as if it never existed. It dissolves back into the nothingness from which it only seemed to emerge in the dream and leaves you with the truth, with the joy, with the love, with a sense of wholeness. That's why the Course in Miracles says the forgiveness of God's Son, that's you and me and everyone, is what this world is for. But immediately, you know, the way we've been taught to forgive by the ego mind is to look at something as if it actually happened. So the key is to realize that in highest truth it didn't happen. And that's a very radical paradigm shift for all of us, for every one of us. So these are our keys and truths and things that you need to companion with the divine spirit within you, the teacher of truth within you, the Holy Spirit, to have that part of you that is awake, that is illumined, teach you how to see all things through the eyes of innocence. But Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that if we would enter the kingdom of heaven, we must become like a little child. A little child is not involved in that judging and critiquing, doesn't have enough information at that point to even perceive evil. It has to be carefully taught duality and againstness and attitudes and prejudices and all of that. It learns that. But left alone, it just looks upon everything with delight and awe as a sense of enjoyment, a sense of engagement, fun, delight. So develop that pure-hearted innocence that sees the good and the divine in all people and things, and leave all the rest alone. Don't engage. It's enough to remember that you are perfect, pure, divine, and forever whole and one with God, and so is everyone else. And enlightenment is simply to realize that so completely that your body, the world, this universe, all of it, simply disappears into limitless light, into pure existence, awareness, and bliss, or Satchitananda, as it's called in Sanskrit, or as the Tibetans call it, Rigpa. So just as a false sense of limitation has caused one to feel burdened and bound, the mind freed of conditioning merges into pure light. I've had that experience. It said that if you chant the Gayatri Mantra, and there's Sai Baba chanting it on the YouTube, if you don't know how to chant it, you can learn it directly from Sai Baba. When it is chanted correctly, it turns the inner consciousness into pure light. And I was up in Northern California at a Sai Baba retreat sometime in the late 70s, I think it was. And we were chanting the Gayatri Mantra as a group for 108 times. And in the midst of that chanting, the whole room turned in to me, turned into golden light. It was just a sea of golden light. There was no forms anywhere. The only thing that showed up were I was looking at Sai Baba's picture, which was on a photograph, was on an easel in front of where I was sitting. And the only thing that showed up were his two brown eyes that looked like chocolate drops floating on the sea of golden light. That was the only thing. Everything else became light. And from that moment on, I realized that that only light, everything is made of God's light. And that's it. There's nothing solid to anything. Everything is just light. Later, when I had a Bhrigu reading, which is a 5,000-year-old reading that they're kept in on Sanskrit leaves in certain places in India, and you can go and sometimes people will find that they have their histories recorded in those leaves. And mine was there, and it described that state that I had experienced and the year that I had experienced it as Atma Darshana, that I had had the experience of having the blessing of the undifferentiated self or the undifferentiated spirit, the Atma. But, you know, that was years later. I sure didn't know at the time what was happening, just that it changed forever how I saw form. And I totally understood that God is light and God is all that exists. And out of God come all things. I had that direct experience. And of course, since then, I've had that many, many times. But that was my first one. So your life circumstances as they appear right now provide the perfect setting for you to liberate yourself. And that's why you've chosen to revisit this particular life, which you are already, what you've already experienced previously. So this is maybe something you'd like to spend some time contemplating. In other words, have some tea with it and consider the implications Jesus is suggesting here. Do some research. I recommend the books by Dr. Kenneth Wapnick if you tend to be a brainiac like me, a scholar. You will appreciate his depth of scholarship. He's one of the people that brought the Course of Miracles into its written form. And he has a book on time as the Great Illusion or something to that effect. I don't remember the exact title, but I think it was Time, the Grand Illusion. And I also recommend the books by Gary Renard, who is a very controversial teacher of the Course in Miracles, but a highly respected one. And he's written three books, and Disappearance of the Universe would be the first one to start your journey with. It's going to rock your boat. So rock away and enjoy the trip. And there are others too, but those are just some that I thought were particularly interesting. And these are topics which fascinate me for, forever. I think when I was maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I was asking these existentialistic questions. What's behind the clouds? Where does the glow and the eyes go when someone passes away? I was always having my cats and dogs die of poisoning back in those years when people would put out rat poison and stuff. And I could never understand why their eyes would glaze over. Where did the light go that was inside those eyes just, you know, moments before, days before? So that bothered me as a child. And when I was in the convent, I remember the Mother Superior passed away. And for about a week, we had to go and kneel around her coffin as she lay in state and say the rosary every night, which was like the most creepy, totally awful experience I can imagine. Talk about traumatizing a child. But it, you know, like, fascinated me. It's like, gosh, she was like walking down the aisle, the hallways and stuff just a week or so ago, and now she's lying there like a piece of wood. Where did she go? Where do we go? What happens after you die? Of course, there's no real comfort in the Catholic faith because they tell you you go to either purgatory, which is a little mini hell, or hell. If you're good, you go to purgatory, and if you're bad, you go to hell. So that really bothered me as a child. That made me nuts. And I would start to pray and intercede and do all of these affirmations, you know, that are supposed to buy people time, you know, lessen their suffering in purgatory and all that stuff. And that began to obsess me from a very young age. But I think that very obsession and concern about the souls of people is what led me ultimately to the work I'm doing today. You know, your early things that impress you so strongly as a child, I find, often are foretelling of the work you'll be doing later on. And so my life has been obsessed with assisting people to make that divine connection. Funny, I just didn't think about it for myself because I always seem to have it. But I recognize that the reason people are suffering is because they don't have a conscious realization of God. And so that became my life's work, which has taken different forms throughout the years, but essentially it's what I'm doing and have been doing for many decades now. So what we need to realize is that even experience itself is to be transcended and let go of at some point. Why? Because all experiences are based upon the past, and thus are not present awareness now. Thought itself is never present. The minute you thought something, it's already done. You're already out of the present moment and in the past. So thought itself is removed from awareness, which is why it's necessary to transcend thinking itself and move into direct awareness of that which is. Thinking actually robs you of present awareness, for thinking involves that past referencing to past experience. And yeah, these things are subtle, but if your intention is to practice continual conscious awareness in your daily life is going to offer perfect opportunities for you to do so. So you always start with what is going on in your life right now. What is, and whatever is transpiring is what you are to use to awaken and free yourself. Awaken and free yourself from the illusion of ignorance, suffering, and bondage. So you're to use every relationship, every desire, every energy, every movement of thought and emotion, and every conscious action to awaken to yourself as pure divine life. And thus anything is useful when viewed in this manner. And every event in your life is a spiritual opportunity for illumination and setting yourself free. And that means you begin to accept and recognize the perfection of whatever is going on in your life. It's perfect. You may not think it's perfect or feel it's perfect or realize it's perfect, but we have to take the word of truly enlightened masters that it is. So your job is to find a way to work it. Work with it. Find a way to make it work for you spiritually. And it is working for you spiritually when you use every experience as an opportunity to keep extending and expanding your capacity to love, your capacity to forgive, to look beyond, and to accept the divine perfection of all people and things. So the biggest single key to liberation is the recognition that only divine perfection is real, and nothing less than that is. So you can literally ignore all of the stories and embellishments and realize it's either real or it's an illusion. And you just discern which is which. So gradually, we learn to look upon all people and things with the eyes of compassion and understanding. And great peace comes from accepting what is going on and allowing our friends and loved ones to learn at their own pace and to work through the situations that they've chosen to work with, however they see fit. Allow people the freedom to experience and work with their own creations. Everyone will awaken when they're ready and really want to. Those who are hungry for greater awareness will seek out that spiritual nourishment. And those who lack that hunger now will build up an appetite after more experiencing of the world dream and its alluring but always disappointing glamour. So to experience energy flow and happiness in your life, all you need to do is to find ways to keep your heart open and your loving goodwill flowing. And to notice whenever you're not experiencing that. And to keep choosing that loving. So the light of your love is the light of illumination expressed. So let's take a deep breath as we go out and chant, Anai Hu. Deep breath. Light, love, and peace to all beings and all the worlds. Adonai.